You're listening to a World Changers podcast, a division of the North American Mission Board.
All right, good evening to you. Thank you. If you got your Bibles, turn to Exodus 33. You're going to want to look there in just a little bit. While you were doing that, there's a moment in American culture that every person goes through. There's a moment of great anticipation, a moment of great intensity, a moment of planning and calculation that takes place in every person's life. There's a moment when there's a group sitting on a floor, and there's a moment where there's one person walking around that group. And it is a moment where that one person is feared by many, and for some, the excitement of the heart just overwhelms as they go around the group saying the word of duck, duck, duck. And then there is a moment to when a word spews from that person's mouth in glorious greatness, and a hand is placed on a head, and the word is goose. And at that very moment, the heart starts to beat, legs starts to move. There's calculations going on in the mind of, can I make it? No, you're not going to make it. Did I pick the right one? Oh, no, I did pick the right one. Where's the empty spot? And heads are on a swivel, and they're going back and forth trying to see who's going to get there. And then the empty spot is filled, and a new goose has risen. And it is a glorious moment for every American kid. And it should be for kids around the world. Now, with that, there is a purpose. I know you're wondering that. Within that game, it is highly important that the goose knows what his purpose is and has actions that follow that purpose. And it is important for all those who are sitting on the floor to know what the purpose is and to know their responsibilities at any given moment. Could you imagine the chaos if during that game, the person who is the goose walking around decided to go through the circle instead of around, or decided to say, well, I'm going to go take a nap in my cabin, I'll be back in a little bit. Or what if they use crazy words like platypus, kangaroo? You wouldn't know what to do. And that rhymed. What if those who were in the group kind of got up and like, ah, let's go this way, gang. Hey, goose, come follow us. What if they just wandered, and what if they started playing tag? What if they went and got something to eat and came back? Chaos would break out. No one would know exactly what they are doing. No one would know how are we supposed to act. I would say the truth is the same for us. You've been called to a place this week. You've been given a mission. You have been led here by the Almighty God. And because of that, there has to be direct purpose and action in your life. There has to be a response on our behalf where we follow what God has called us to do. There's something within us that says, I know I need to act like this. I need to obey this. I need to respond like this. And our actions should be reflecting that which we believe, that Jesus Christ is a sovereign Lord, that he is creator, that he is a savior, that he is in control of all things. And so that's why tonight we're going to talk about that we're only roaming unless God is going. And I know for some of you, your Monday or your Tuesday started just like I told you it would. I told you you needed to be flexible like a pipe cleaner, did I not? I told you everything that can go wrong will go wrong. I told you, to pat myself on the back, you will have plans and you will get there and your plans will be thrown out the window and you will have to do something completely different. So I know that some of you feel like you're just roaming, but you're not. You have a purpose. And so you need to wake up, you need to budge your neighbor, you need to smack him in the back of the head, you need to stay with me tonight, because this is going to be very applicable to what you're going through, okay? So in your Bibles, Exodus chapter 33, all right, our key verse is 15 and 16, so I'm going to read that, and I'm going to give you some background here. All right, in 15 and 16, it says that Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? So we're going to talk about it in a second, but let me pray for us. Father, I just thank you for the opportunity to be with these students. I thank you for your word, which is active and living, and I thank you for your spirit that is here right now. And I pray that your spirit would move in power. Lord, I pray that you would give a supernatural, uncanny ability for every student and adult to be able to feel alert, to be able to be in tune with what it is you would have them to hear. God, I pray that their hearts would be softened. I pray that their lives would be convicted. I pray that their lives would be changed. Lord, I pray that your truth would simply reign in our hearts. And God, would you be honored by all that we hear and all that we do and all that we say and all that we respond to tonight? And we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you look back in Exodus 32, you can follow this story, but I'm going to give kind of the background. Moses, most of you should know who Moses is, right? Okay, Moses led the people out of Egypt, was God's chosen instrument there. Led them out, got to the Red Sea. Moses was the one who held up his staff. Red Sea parted. Starts leading them to where the promised land was going to be. And in that journey, I mean, you had God do some incredible things. You had God provide manna from heaven, which was this just bread-like stuff that fell on the ground each morning, and it was sufficient for them. You had God send all these doves to where they could eat meat. You had God provide water out of a rock. You had God do all kind of things that were just amazing. And they get to Mount Sinai. And when they get to Mount Sinai, which was God has led them, God wanted to speak with Moses up on the mountain. And in those chapters, he says he does it a couple times. And when he went the very first time, he gave very specific instructions for Moses to tell the Israelites. Tell them, don't make any idols of gold or silver. I, the Lord, am God. And so Moses goes up there once and kind of comes back down and tells them things. And he goes back up there again. And God keeps them up there for 40 days. And during that period, the Israelites got restless. I don't know why. After seeing all that they beheld, it's just amazing to me. But they got restless and says, well, maybe Moses isn't with us anymore. And they go and they grab Aaron. They say, Aaron, here's all our gold. Make us a golden calf so we can worship it. Really, guys? I mean, really, just, you want to smack them. Okay, so Aaron does it for whatever reason. He makes a golden calf, and they start having this party, and they worship the calf, and they say that this golden calf is a thing that led them out of Egypt. Really? I mean, come on. So Moses comes down, and as you would figure and guess, if you've heard the story, Moses isn't happy, and neither is God. And so there's punishment that's there. And so basically the summation is that Moses comes down. He calls all the people who want to follow God to him. They come to him. The Levites is a kind of a chosen tribe. And they all come to him. And he tells the Levites, take your swords, go throughout our people and kill everyone who has sinned. And basically 3,000 people die. And he says, kill your neighbors, kill your family, kill your children. Everyone who is over there who's not with us, kill them. And they do. And God says, he will honor you for that. And then in that, Moses says, you know, Lord, what are we going to do? And so the Lord tells Moses, listen, I still want you to go and take these people to the promised land. I want you to go. I'm going to send an angel before you. And that angel is going to drive out the inhabitants. And then I'm going to deal with the people who remain. And I'm going to send a plague to just kind of give them some of that good old punishment and teach them a lesson. And so he does that. But then he says this. So look in verse 33. I want you to see this. This is extremely important. Chapter 33, 1 and 2. Here's what it says. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought out of Egypt, and go up to the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I will give it to your descendants. I will send an angel before you and drive out the Canaanites, the Amorites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, and catch this. But I will not go with you, because you are a stiff-necked people, and I might destroy you on the way. So God says, I will fulfill the promise which I have made to you. I will give you the land. Go and take it. And I'll send an angel to drive out all those people so you don't have to worry about it. But dude, I ain't going with you because I would destroy every single one of them. And so a question must be asked. Would you take the promises of God apart from the presence of God? Would you take all that God promises apart from God's presence? I like the way David Platt has answered this question, and he says this. He says, this is exactly the kind of Christianity we have created today. Come to Christ and get the stuff. Come to Christ and you get forgiveness. You get heaven. You get your best life. He says it's blasphemy. You come to Christ to get God. You cannot separate the two. We want the presence of God in our life. We want the presence of God with us. We desire that. Okay, so that's critical. Now, I want you to look in verse 7 of chapter 33, and I want you to follow this with me, because this is pretty cool. Okay? It says, now Moses used to take a tent and he pitched it outside the camp some distance away, calling it the tent of meeting. Anyone inquiring of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people rose and they stood at the entrance to the tents, watching Moses until he entered the tent. As Moses went into the tent, the pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance while the Lord spoke with Moses. And whenever the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance to the tent, they all stood and worshiped, each at the entrance of his tent. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. And then Moses was returned to the camp, but his young age, Joshua the son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Now, can you picture that? Just grab that. Thousands upon thousands of people gathered in a camp. Have their tent set up, families in each tent. Suddenly whispers go throughout the tent. Moses is heading outside of the camp. And everyone comes outside of their tent and they watch. And there goes Moses at a distance. And he's walking. And he's heading outside of the camp, outside of the boundaries. And he's going to that which is the tent of meeting. Every single person is standing and waiting to see if God's going to show up. And they stand there and they wait. And Moses enters the tent. And suddenly the pillar of cloud comes down. And they know that the presence of God has entered that tent and is speaking with Moses as with a friend. And it says that they all just stand at their tent and they worship God because they know his presence is there. And it's absolutely amazing. And within that, Moses begins to plead with the Lord. God, do not send us if your presence does not go with us. Do not send these people on their own and do not destroy them. And I want you to see something. Look in verses 14. It says, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. And you would think that may be an answer to what Moses has said. But the significant thing there is when you see the word you, it's actually singular. And so God is pleased with Moses and he says, okay, listen, I will go with you, Moses, and my presence will be with you. And Moses says, no, that's not enough. You don't get it. Look in verse 15. Moses said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the people on the face of the earth? Moses said, I was not willing to go anywhere without your presence. I do not want to travel the next footstep unless you go with us. Because it is the thing that set them apart from all the other nations. It was a thing that made them be set apart to say they are the ones who have the living God. And now get this. This is what's so wild. Is that we have that which those in the Old Testament long for so passionately. Every single person in those tents probably longed, I wish I could be like Moses and go and be in the presence of God. I wish I could go and speak to him face to face. Moses must love that job. But yet, as believers in Christ, Scripture says that we are the tent, that we have the presence within us. Everything that those in the Old Testament long for, could we have that? Could we see that? Scripture says, and Jesus promises, you have me. You have my presence living within you. You are the tent. You are the temple. And Jesus even says, listen, if you obey my commands, that you are my friend. We don't stand outside longing, God, would you please go with us as we go out tomorrow? God, would you please, we beg of you, go with us. No, he's with us. He's with us. He's before us. He's after us. He is in us. He is at those very places. And this is so significant for you. Why? What does the presence of God mean? When you get God, when you have his presence, you have all of him. You don't have just a part of him. You have all of him. And because you have the presence of God living within you, students, college students, listen to me. You should be set apart. Your life should be distinguished from all of those around you. Because if it's not, then what are you living for and who is living through you? There's a book that was written called Unchristian. Incredible book. I encourage you to read it. It was basically a survey of 18-year-olds through like 26-year-olds and what their belief was on Christianity and Christians and how they lived. And they just interviewed them, gave them honest answers. And here's one of the stats that they found. Of those who were the unchristians, it says this. 84% said that they personally know at least one committed Christian. Yet just 15% thought that the lifestyles of those Christ followers were significantly different from the norm. 84% said, yeah, I know someone who says they're a committed Christian. They're sold out to Jesus. Yeah, I know them. Are their lifestyles any different? No. No, they do the same thing. Worry about the same stuff. Do the same stuff. Say the same stuff. Listen to the same stuff. They're just like us. Then why would I want Jesus? Oh, I don't know. It's a good question. If we have the presence of God in our lives should be different. We can no longer go about living the same way. You can't. You cannot do it. It is not possible. If Christ, who has risen from the dead, has given you his presence, his Holy Spirit, then that presence has to make a difference and an impact in your life. And so let us begin to examine our lives. But here's what's so cool. If you have all of Christ, if you have all of God, you have all of his characteristics living within you. You have his goodness. You have his goodness. I want to show you a passage. Turn to Luke. Luke 11. Chapter 11, verse 11. And then we're going to be in Matthew as well, so just kind of put your finger there so it won't take you so long. All right? And here's Jesus talking, and he says this. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, and we are all evil apart from Christ, if you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Listen, he is saying, if your fathers, who are by nature evil, enemies of God, which all of us were apart from Christ, if though they are evil, they know to have good gifts to their kids. And listen, I love my kids dearly. And I know for you to have kids, they love you dearly. And you parents love your kids dearly. You don't intentionally say, oh, this is going to be funny. I'm going to give them a rattlesnake. This is going to be great. Watch this. No. You would be the worst parent on the face of the earth. Even if you can't afford it, you want to give your kids good things. And yet God, in his characteristic, is goodness. And he says, listen, if your fathers who are evil know how to have good gifts, how much more will my Father in heaven? And so get this, students. Your lives, your week, your day might have gotten messed up in certain aspects. But God knew that. He is in control, and he is good. Do you think God is up there laughing, saying, oh, this is going to be funny. Watch, I'm sending him to go do VBS, but VBS ain't going to happen. This is going to be great. No. God is good. He has a purpose for you being here. He has a purpose in what he has planned for you to do. He's also sovereign. To be sovereign means he is king. He is in control of all things. Flip over to Matthew. I want you to see this. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29 and 30. Matthew 10, verse 29 and 30. Okay? It says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Students, listen to me. If sparrows can fly through the air and not one of them falls without it being part of the will of the Father, listen, God was not caught off guard by what happened today in any of your sights. He has a plan in that. That's why we need to be flexible. We have our plan, yes, but God, in his sovereignty, has other plans. He did not bring you down here to be disappointed. He did not call you down here to get frustrated. He called you here to make a difference within this community, and that is trusting in his sovereignty. You have his presence, so therefore you know that he is good, and he will live through you, and he has a purpose in what you're doing. So you go there tomorrow, and you live, and you work, and you serve with all of your might, with the best attitude that you can, knowing that God is not caught off guard. You had plans, yes. Some of them changed, yes. But God is still in control. And his presence is with you. And he will make a difference if you will allow him to live through you. So you go now, and if you have to knock on doors, man, you do it with all of your might. And you pray for an opportunity to declare God's glory. Maybe you go and you just go prayer walking. Maybe that's it. Maybe there are people just out in the streets and in cutting grass that you just need to go up to and say, hey, how can we pray for you this week? You know what? We came from 500 miles away, and we just want to know, how could we pray for you? And you will be blown away the opportunities that God may present to you if you will make yourself available because you trust in his sovereignty and his goodness and his grace and his mercy. You don't know as you're painting. Don't just be consumed in the act of painting, but watch out for those opportunities around you. The church member who walks by, the kid who asks to help, the people who walk by the street. You never know in all those opportunities, that may be the very reason God said, I put you on this site. So listen, I just want to encourage you, do not get frustrated. Do not get bent out of shape. You have the presence of God, and He is sovereign, and He is good, and He has a plan with you. Trust Him, and let Him limp through you. And the other thing is this, just like the Israelites were set apart, that's what made them different because of the presence. Listen, students, you have got to understand that as you claim to be a Christian, people are watching you. And they want to know, are you the same typical teenager that I see on TV, or because you're a Christian, are you different? Are you living different? And God calls you to a higher standard. God calls you to be set apart. God calls you in how you take care of this church and how you take care of your sleeping quarters and the bathrooms. And we heard some of the bathrooms are trashy. We'll address that later. But in how you do the bathrooms and how you do the meals, in every aspect of your life. Listen, you should be honoring Christ and knowing that His presence is with you in every aspect of your life. And not just on this trip, but when you get home as well. You are not just roaming about aimlessly thinking, oh, I wish God would just give us a sign. Why? No, listen, God is in complete control. You have His presence. He lives in you and through you, and His power is in you. And so will you just stop to reflect on His goodness and His greatness and His mercy and His sovereignty? And will you just stop for a moment and consider the plan that God may have for you in whatever situation may come your way? Otherwise, we're just roaming unless God's going. But we know God's already gone. He's here. He has gone before us. He has prepared the places. He's working on the hearts of the people to draw all people unto Himself. So let us be obedient in all that we are doing. That's the challenge for you. Keep your eyes open. Keep your hearts attuned to His Spirit. Don't get frustrated. Don't get bent out of shape. Stay flexible and trust in the sovereign God who is with you. Let me pray for you, and I'm going to ask Brandon to come up. We're going to worship this morning. As he comes, just go ahead and bow your heads, close your eyes. And I want you to spend a moment, just you by yourself. I want you to pray for wherever your side is tomorrow. It may be what you planned on. It may be something different that you had planned. But I want you to spend just some time, you and God, praying about your heart before Him and your side tomorrow, praying that your attitude will reflect His goodness and His character and His nature. Your actions would reflect that. You know, Jesus never promised that if you're obedient to me, your life is going to be easy. What he actually says in his word, when he was telling people to follow me, he said, listen, to the 12, I'm sending you out as sheep among wolves. He gave them the promise that, listen, because of me, all people are going to hate you. Listen, your own family is going to turn against you if you really live for me, if you give it all up and you surrender everything and you live through me. So when you are out there and you're experiencing some frustrations and some persecution, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. My friend Jeff reminded me of a saying someone had told me a long time ago. He said, if you don't meet the devil face to face every day, it's probably because you're running in the same direction. It is a privilege to go out in this community and to come face to face with Satan and to let him think he's going to try to mess up God's plans. I don't think so. And so you rejoice in the doors being slammed in your face. You rejoice in your plans getting messed up. And here's the thing, students. You do not trust in man. Every man or woman will disappoint you in time. So do not put your faith in man. Not in the summer staff, not in me, not in the pastors of the church you're working with, not even in your mom or dad. You put your faith in God because He is the only one who is good and who is sovereign, who knows all things, and you trust Him. God. God, I pray for these students, Lord. I pray for these college students, these adults. God, I thank you for what you have done today. Lord, I thank you for the way that you have called us to be flexible, that you have changed some things, and God, you have better plans in store. And the beauty of worshiping you is that you see all things. We can only see today. And even in that, we're limited. And we see frustration. We see disappointment. We see our desires. But God, you call us not to trust in our plans, but to trust in your plans. And so, God, we willingly and humbly and just joyfully say we rejoice in your presence that is with us. And may your will be done. May you bring grace and mercy and glory to your name as we go out with all of our might tomorrow. And we live and we serve and we work in partnership with you, trusting you every step of the way. And for whatever frustration may come, whatever persecution may come, Lord, we will rejoice because we have been declared worthy of the sufferings of Christ. And God, may we just simply be found obedient. God, I thank you that your presence is with us. God, I thank you that it is not in this building, that when we leave this building, we have to beg you to follow us, that as followers and believers in Jesus Christ, Lord, you have given us your Holy Spirit. Your presence and all your characteristics, your nature, your power is in us. And we take you with us everywhere we go. And God, may our actions begin to tell everyone around us, we have been set apart. We will not live like the world. We will not act like the world. We will not desire the things of this world because we know that we are living for a kingdom. And we are living for a king who is risen, and a king who has control of all things, and a king who is worthy of our affections, a king who is worthy of our lives, a king who is worthy of everything we could ever hope for or dream. We lay it at his feet and we surrender it and we say, Lord Jesus, we are here to serve you and to worship you, and we thank you that you are with us. And so God, during this time, I just pray that we would worship like never before, realizing that your presence is within us. Realizing that we are the temple, and right now you meet with us face to face. You are our friend, and we want to be obedient to all that you ask us to do. We thank you for that intimate relationship, God, that so many people before us have begged for and longed for. We have it. God, may our lives be truly different. May we not be ashamed of the gospel. We love you, Lord. We praise you. We give you the rest of this night. We give you the rest of this week, and we give you our very lives. And it is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Now, I'm serious, students. I want you to stand and I want you to worship, not like you did a couple 30 minutes, an hour ago, however long we've been in here. I want you to worship like never before, realizing the presence of God is within you, realizing that Christ is King, realizing that he is control of your very lives in this very week, that nothing happens outside of his reign and his sovereignty and his grace and his mercy, and you worship him because he is the only one who is worthy of it, and you enjoy all the frustrations that come. You take great joy in the persecutions that are going to come. You take great joy in knowing that his presence is with you, and now you worship, and you lay everything before his feet, and you declare his goodness and his greatness and his praise, and you just simply love the Lord Jesus.
For more information, check out www.world-changers.net.